What is up, everyone? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Podcast Network. It is still July 26, 2020, Sunday. Time to talk a little baseball, and more specifically, the happenings in Southern California baseball, the scene. That's where we are, myself and my co-host, Brianna Winter, who is located up in the OC area, Southern California, native as well. Well, maybe not native, but lives in Southern California for quite a long time. Big Angels fan, also big Cubs fan, but we're going to hone in on her Angels knowledge here on this Southern California podcast, Southern California baseball podcast. I should say, if you haven't, after you're done here with this podcast, head to the website, head to wherever you're listening to this podcast. There is the MLB side of things that we talked about. That was a great podcast, but in terms of the regionalized things, Angels, Dodgers, and Padres, this is the podcast that we concentrate on those three things, because face it, that's what we do best. That's our specialty. That's my specialty, and I'm going to invite you all into my new favorite area, my new favorite region of Southern California, the Winter Circle, where Brianna Winter is going to give us her Angel report as look, we all just pretty much, unless you're a Dodger fan, we all just saw our team finish up three games. What are your thoughts on what are we looking at the Angels here?
First, being born and raised in Los Angeles, you'd think I would be a Dodger fan. Sorry, Dodger fans, I am not.
You're raised right. Good parenting. That's great parenting there. Shout out to the parents.
So obviously Rendon is still out, but there is good sign as he was seen hitting batting practice today, as well as doing some fielding prior to the game. During the Angel game today, they said that Matt is expecting him to start off at the DH position before fully coming back. So we will be seeing him in the lineup hopefully soon against the Astros, since that's two series away. So hopefully we see him in that series. But going into this weekend, obviously the Angels were the first to deal with the international tiebreaker, losing to the A's in Grand Slam fashion. That hurt me at night. It sucked. And then obviously today, Fletcher went 4-for-4. Trout hit his first home run of the season. He went 1-for-7 prior to today's game, and he had 4 RBIs. And then Goodwin was 2-for-4 in this game as well. Obviously, they lost 6-to-4. But they did win yesterday, so they are now 1-2 going into the Mariners series after tomorrow. So they do have one more game left in this series before the Mariners come down to Anaheim.
Perfect. So get a chance to get things together. And I was interested, I mean, international tiebreak, if you aren't 100% sure, that is what is the second runner on second base. I saw a different variation. Pretty much I think I've seen, I saw highlights of the Angel game. Obviously Brianna lets you all know what happened there. We've seen different variations. Now you've played, with this rule, on both sides. You've obviously been on the offensive side and the defensive side. What in your, I guess, that you've seen that, the strategies that you think teams are going to bring in, and then the strategies that you think were best, because like I talked about in the last podcast, look, for a lot of us, we can all think about, oh, well, maybe if we were in this situation or that situation, we'd do this, but we've never actually been in that situation. Well, Brianna has. She's played in those scenarios, so she's literally seen it. So I'm really interested as to what you've seen in the past and what you think it is going to carry over into this modern day baseball landscape, if you will, of extra innings.
Obviously they made it so then the innings were going to be shorter at going to extra innings because of COVID. Baseball fans, you should get used to this by now. Obviously it's a normal occurrence in softball, which is something that I played for 7 years. I've been on both sides. I've been to the runner on second base, and it's never fun to start there, obviously, when they know that they're gunning for you first if they don't get that batter out. And then I've also been on the offensive or the defensive side. I've been a catcher, or I've been in other positions trying to make sure that that runner does not advance. Obviously, with the Angel game, they loaded the bases up and got the grand slam. Ohtani got picked off in a, was stuck in a pickle when they started that on Friday. Obviously, the bunt situation that you saw in the Royals game, would be the best situation just to get that runner to move, just so you have a chance to get another run. Obviously, the Angels did not do that because they just hit it, and obviously the momentum for the first baseman was being carried toward third base. So obviously that's when Ohtani got pickled out. But yeah, bunting would definitely be the best situation. And if you are on the defensive side, I would expect the bunt from now on. Obviously, in the Royals game, they didn't expect it because obviously nobody has played with this before. And with softball, the fields are a lot smaller. But in baseball, you have a lot more room to deal with. So it's going to be easier for you guys to get the bunt down. So yeah, that's my take on it. Just if you're stuck in that situation, start off with a bunt. Just try to get your batter to move. Obviously, don't do it on two strikes, though.
I agree. And I think one thing, now, I believe there are limitations to this rule. Mike Trout's leading the game off or leading the inning off. Certain people, no, we're not putting bunts down. But, you know, Andrelton Simmons, Fletcher, I know he had a great game. But guys that, you know, you don't have full confidence in, you know, when Rendon comes back, he's probably not putting a sack bunt down unless they're at home. And that's another thing. You know, they all talk about, you know, home or away. You know, if you're on a road team, maybe you feel that you need more than one run because you're going to have someone on second base no matter what. No matter what you do, you're going to have to get out of your own jam in the bottom.
Yeah, and I think it's going to depend on who's on second base. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the rules of international tiebreaker are the last out from the previous inning is going to be who's on second base. So in the Angels case, that was Ohtani. But if you've got someone like really fast, you want the bunt. But if you've got like power coming up next, don't worry about the bunt. Just try. But at the same time, you still want to try to get that runner to move over so you have a better chance at getting the run. Because obviously, third base is better than second base. Definitely. To score.
Well, and just so many things can happen. You know, you get that wild pitch and all of a sudden the game's over or you're up by one, however that rolls.
Whichever if you're visitor or home.
Yeah. Either way. And that's what I mean. It's similar. It's kind of like the college football rule, the overtime rule in terms of, you know, they're going to get a shot in good field position, but you'll get that same shot. Now it's different in terms of walk-offs and that. I understand that. But somewhat similar. And I know myself, I would, unless you have those big bats, I would want to bunt. But I will say this. There is a very small amount of players in this league that can put down a bunt successfully. It is not like it used to be. I'll be that get off my lawn guy right now. Like, guys just don't handle the bat the way they used to. I go back to, I think it was the 2017 Division Series. Aaron Judge played 5 games. He struck out 23 times in those 5 games. Tony Gwynn played the entire 1995 season, and it was like 144 games, 600 at-bats, and he struck out 20 times. Things are different, I understand that, but the ability to put down a bunt in those extra innings, especially if you're the home team. If you're the home team and you get out of the top inning or the top half of the inning with no runs scored, you almost have to bunt just because you have to put yourself in that situation. All you need is one. So it was interesting to me to see that the Royals were the only team that tried this. While I will say, I do believe it, a lot of it does come down to the fact that these guys just can't bunt and the managers aren't comfortable putting the bunt sign down for these guys. With a runner in scoring position. I think it just goes against everything that they've learned the last 20 years, kind of shifting baseball culture. Anything else on the Angels?
And then obviously Ohtani today did not do well, but keep in mind that he had not pitched since August of 2018. So it has been almost 2 years since he had pitched in a game. So I'm hoping that he will come back from this even stronger. He's going to try to practice and fix what did not work today. Obviously, he faced 6 batters. Nobody was out, gave up 5 runs. So hopefully he'll come back from this, but I think he's going to be DHing hopefully the majority of the week. Maybe they'll have him pitch against the Mariners before they get the Astros. Obviously, you kind of want him to pitch against the Astros, but at the same time, you want his bat at the same time.
Well, and two, also, I think you'd want him to pitch against the Astros, but maybe not in this situation.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather throw him out against the Mariners, where I have a lot, you know, his even if he's, you know, C+, B- stuff, he'll be able to survive. I just think it would be terrible if he goes out there and another inning gives up 5 runs and really struggles again, because I don't think there's a more polarizing player in baseball other than maybe like a Bryce Harper or something. There are a lot of people who, I hate to say it, they just want to see him fail because he is a two-way player. And whether it's right or wrong, I think it's stupid. I don't think you should root for someone to fail. I mean, now obviously there are certain situations in the middle of a game we're all somewhat, you know, rooting for someone to fail, but outwardly, you know, it's a bit much. And I know there's a lot of Padre fans who are still bitter as can be, because, you know, once Padre fans read that, you know, an international free agent is thinking about going to the Padres, then in their mind, he has to go to the Padres or he's the biggest idiot alive. So obviously he ended up going to the Angels. I was bummed, you know, hey, I that would have been great to have Shohei Ohtani, kind of the Babe Ruth 2.0. But there are still Padre fans, and I see it on Padres Twitter, that will find any opportunity to get after Shohei Ohtani. So they have the opportunity today. But I will say the fact that he started this way. Now, he doesn't want to start this way. No pitcher ever wants to do it or never wants to be in a situation that happened today. But no matter what he does, it's going to be an improvement. So at least he's going to progress. And look, we've seen him pitch before. This isn't a situation where he's never going to be able to pitch again. He'll never get an out again. It's a hiccup. It's unfortunate that it was Game 3 and there's so much scrutiny on early on. And yeah, we're going to see it a lot on ESPN tonight. There's going to be a lot of people talking about it, but that's the best thing about baseball. Is now maybe not for Shohei Ohtani, but tomorrow there's another game. Let's go get it. You get another chance tomorrow to forget all about it. And I think Shohei Ohtani, I think he's a mentally strong guy. Obviously, I don't know him, but I really do expect him to kind of bounce back. And moving on to the Padre report. Look, about 4 hours ago, it was a lot nicer to be a Padre fan. And, you know, as usual, unfortunately, the Padres did drop Game 3 of the series opener against the Diamondbacks. First two games, really, really good baseball. Pretty much won both the same way, 5-1, 8-1. First two games, pitching was on point. Absolutely loved what we saw to Chris Paddock. He was bumping it up to 96-97, which is devastating when he can put that ball on the corner. We saw Denilson Lamet last night only walk one guy in 5 innings. Believe me, that is huge for him. For a guy that averaged nearly 13 strikeouts per 9 innings last year in only 70 innings, so it was a small sample size. But if he can go out and not average the 4.5 walks per 9 that he has, he's going to be very successful. And now he struggled a bit. Like I said, only one walk. But he was, I guess you could say, effectively wild. So there were a lot of, you know, 2-2 counts. A lot of times we put himself in situations, probably could have been a little more conservative with his pitches. But at the end of the day, got the job done. Bullpen comes in. And a big part of the best part about those two wins for the Padres is who were the heroes? And it was Eric Hosmer and Will Myers. These two guys are, look, whether they like it or not, they're the face of the franchise because they are getting paid a lot of money and they've been mediocre. And I'm probably being nice. Will Myers last year, I think, had a strikeout rate close to 40%. When you're going up there and you're striking out 40% of the time, you shouldn't be making a dollar, let alone 22 million of them. So to see him go out and get the job done last night, and Hosmer on Friday night, the six RBIs, two bases clearing doubles, sets a Padre record. It was great to see him. Look, If you've listened to my offseason podcast and I talk about the Padres, it's about can Eric Hosmer and Will Myers be average baseball players? And guess what? They were above average this weekend. It is only three games. Obviously, today the Padres did fall. I am a bit concerned. It was the first time that Jace Tingler was put into a situation where he had to manage a bullpen. He had to manage a baseball game and manage it to win. It was 1-0 going into the seventh. He went and got Tim Hill to get Cole Calhoun in the sixth inning. Runners on the corners, got it done. Go into the seventh up 1-0, looking good. They go with Emilio Pagan out of the bullpen, second appearance so far this season. He didn't get the job done. He gave up, I believe, four runs. Padres end up going three runs. I apologize. Padres go down. They end up losing this game. They tie it in the bottom of the eighth, give it up in the ninth. Kirby Yates again. In a non-save situation, Kirby Yates is not good. I don't know if it's he needs the pressure. I don't know if he just needs to feel that he gets a save at the end of the game. We saw it last year. The only hiccups he had all season in a year where he had a 1.1 ERA, the only hiccups he had were two games against the Dodgers back-to-back when he came in the ninth inning and tie games and got the losses in both games. It's exactly what happened today. Padres did fight back, almost got it done in the bottom of the ninth. They do lose 4-3. Jace Tingler got to get a hold of that bullpen a little bit better. I'm not a huge fan of Pagan. In that seventh, it was the eighth inning because Pomerantz pitched the seventh. The first time seeing Tingler mess with that bullpen doesn't give me a ton of confidence. Padres are 2-1. They have another game against the Diamondbacks tomorrow. If they can take 3 out of 4 against the D-backs, that would be huge. But if they do lose that game, it would be tough considering where Padre fans were Saturday night where they're 2-0 and then say that maybe this time tomorrow we might be 2-2. I mean, we're used to this, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean it's fun for us. So hopefully we'll be talking about a Padre win tomorrow. We will see. We do expect to see Zach Davies go tomorrow for the Padres. So hopefully he can channel his inner Kyle Hendricks. Or is it Kyle Hendricks or Kyle Kendricks?
Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks.
Okay, yes.
I don't know. For the Cubs, yes.
Okay, yes. Hopefully he can pull another soft toss and get a complete game. So that's the Padre report. And obviously I'm a huge Padre fan. Brianna, huge Angel fan. So we kind of tackled those reports. And then when it comes to the Dodgers, neither of us are really big fans of the team, but we're baseball fans. We'll do our due diligence here for the Southern California part of things. So talk a little Dodger baseball, and I'll try not to vomit, but the first three games for the Dodgers, really, I think somewhat as you would expect. Now, obviously, yesterday, they lose to the Giants. It was very interesting to me. That would have been a David Price, I would assume. It would have been his start. Instead, it was Alex Wood. Obviously, I don't think he got out of the third or fourth inning. I know they touched him up pretty early in that game. Bullpen almost gave it away, but they end up holding on. The Giants do to win 5-4. So the Dodgers are 2-1 after two straight games. The first two games, they looked like they were going to pretty much blow the Giants out of every single game. Giants fight back. They will be getting going in game 4 and about, I think they go at 7. So we'll see how that goes. Dodgers, I was impressed with them. Now, the pitching side of things, it's kind of what I expected. I think the pitching is going to leave parts to be desired. I don't think they're nearly as good as they possibly could be. They're very top heavy. I liked what I saw out of Dustin May, but the third time through, it seemed like the Giants batters were getting to him. I'm cautiously optimistic about the Dodgers. I don't think they're going to be the dominant team that everyone says they are. They're definitely going to score runs. But I think the pitching might hamper this team. I don't know if they're a, World Series, favorite right now for me because of that pitching. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I think if David Price had not opted out, they would have been that dominant team with their pitching. Obviously, Kershaw went out with a back sprain literally hours before the game. And Dustin May, I believe, who is a rookie, ended up coming in for his first major league start. And he actually did pretty well for his first major league start. But obviously, he's going to get rattled. It's his first season in the majors. He's going to get better as time goes on in regards to that. Obviously, thankfully, there were no fans because that would have rattled him more. But I do think that the Dodgers will win tonight and go 3-1. Obviously, they have been demolishing the Giants, but they did have a really off day yesterday. But I don't think we're going to see that until the next series when they do face the Astros in Houston, which obviously will be an interesting and exciting series to watch considering what happened in 2017.
Exactly. And like I said, I think I alluded to it in the MLB podcast. This is pretty much if 2020, you know, if we get one thing from 2020 that we wouldn't have got regularly, all right, Dodgers Astros for 6 games instead of 0. We can live with that. So that'll be very interesting. Obviously, two teams that I think the Astros have better pitching staff, but not by a ton, at least definitely starting staff. I think their bullpen did not impress me today. But the top heaviness of the Dodgers, especially if Kershaw, look, back stiffness, that's not, oh, okay, I'm good now. That might be something that he deals with all year. We'll have to keep an eye on that. But the Dodgers tonight are a pretty, pretty safe bet. The Giants are going to be one of the worst teams in baseball, period. There's no other way to put it. They're a young team. They're going to do their best, but especially when you don't have – and the big guys aren't even really that good when it comes to Pence and Belt. And, I mean, like I said, Pablo Sandoval is batting third for the Giants. I think that's every single thing that you need to know about how the Giants are going to be this year. So as we shift from looking back, let's look ahead. What our teams have on tap for this week. We will head back into the winner's circle. What do the Angels have coming up this week?
Well, obviously they have the Mariners coming up after tomorrow, but the Mariners are in a rebuild somewhat in the same way that the Giants are. So if Shohei Ohtani does pitch in this series, it's definitely for more practice than anything. And hopefully what happened today doesn't happen again. And I really think he doesn't want that to happen again. And then after that, they have the Astros at home. And obviously that would have been the opening day if opening day happened on time in March. So the Astros will have to face the Dodgers at home and then come to Anaheim to face the Angels. I'm just waiting for September for when the Astros head to Dodger Stadium. I'm hoping that fans will be involved. Like, it's going to be – that series is going to be an exciting and interesting one. Obviously, Verlander is not playing right now. So hopefully that is better chances for the Dodgers and the Angels, because I know everybody wants Astros to lose in California. Verlander may be back for that series at Dodger Stadium. But for now, we're just looking for this week. And obviously, Verlander will not be there, which is definitely going to be a big help. And obviously, you've got Mookie Betts for the Dodgers.
Exactly. And the Astros-Dodgers series, that's kind of been the one that we've all been looking forward to from the beginning. But the Angels-Astros, I think those series, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's now maybe when you get to play the Astros is now possibly the biggest differential in either division in the West. Because this team is going to be, if Verlander's out for 3 weeks, then this team, it's a lot better, obviously, to face them now. Even if you didn't have Verlander scheduled coming up, there's still one person that just got pulled up that wasn't normally going to be on that staff. They're now there. And remember, Minute Maid Ballpark, or I forget, I can't keep up with the names anymore, but the Astros Stadium is a heavy, heavy hitter-friendly ballpark. I mean, I feel like you give me an aluminum bat, and I feel like I might be able to chuck a couple out down the left field line. But it's really interesting. I do expect to see the Angels really – they have to do well against the Mariners, because I kind of look at four in the American League West, the Mariners are the Giants, and – kind of conversely, because there are four teams and Rangers, okay, maybe, but they could possibly compete. The Mariners and Giants don't really have a really good shot of competing. So it's what you do against those teams that is going to be key. And for myself as a Padre fan, looking over the schedule, we got really lucky in terms of the Dodgers play the Astros 6 times. And that's the most any NL and AL opponent will play each other. The Padres AL opponent 6 times this year is the Seattle Mariners. So I look at it, look, you got the Giants and the Mariners. You got 16 games against these two teams. If you really, really want to compete, you have to win 11 or 12 of these because these are bad teams, period. Now, look, they're professionals. Don't get me wrong. So they're going to win 2 or 3, like we saw with Pittsburgh today. We saw with I'm drawing a blank, but there were a couple others. Detroit took 2, but there's going to be – it's baseball. It's not a – the most talented team always wins. More often than not, it's the team that's the most cohesive, and especially with everything that's going on right now. You're seeing pictures of Max Scherzer watching a game from the stands. I mean, that's new for anybody. You know, if you're not dressed for that game, you are not allowed in the dugout. That is new for everybody. Everybody's just kind of trying to get their feet wet. And I think early on, the teams that handle this the best and kind of micro, a small sample is kind of with Shohei Ohtani. How does he deal with this adversity that he's dealing with now? You know, everyone goes through that. Now, maybe not as bad, but every pitcher is going to go through what Shohei Ohtani went through today. Baseball is a game of failure. This guy right here, Tony Gwynn, he would hit 300 every year of his career. That means he failed 70% of the time, folks. So you have to be mentally strong in this game to pick yourself back up, get back after it tomorrow, or in Shohei Ohtani's case, 4 or 5 days. So I'm really excited to see not only the Angels, how they deal with that, but how the Angels deal with the Astros, because I have a futures bet for the Angels to win the West, and it could win me some money. And I'm hoping I don't have a ton of confidence, but I'll be right behind Brianna cheering them on.
So. Yeah, I mean, I hope the Angels will win, but obviously Mike Trout's – the due date for his child is literally the day after that series is supposed to end. So you don't know if he's even going to be there for this series. I hope that he is, because that will be a major help, obviously. But you just never know. It's just that one of those one-of-a-kind seasons where it's so short that anything can happen, and we don't even know what the rules will be for when he wants to return either. Exactly. Will he have to stay out for 10 days, or will it only be for a few days?
Exactly. And that's a great point. And that's just 2020 pretty much how it is. I think that's another thing with the Verlander injury. Like, okay, yeah, a couple weeks, no big deal. But what about, you know, what if during this, maybe he comes in contact and he tests positive for COVID? And, you know, then it's another 2 weeks. So there's a lot of crazy things that are going to be going on. But looking forward for the Padres, this is a lot of similarities with the Angels. Look, we get our Mariners version. We're heading up north. To the Bay. We're going to play the Giants. I say we because I don't care. I feel like I'm a part of the team. Spent a lot of money. I've put a lot of time, tears, and effort following this team. So, yeah, I call them we. Get over it. So the main thing for me is how this team is going to do against the bottom half of – or the bottom part of the division. And that's what's coming up this week. I believe we got the Giants, and then the Rockies will be rolling through later in the week. It will actually be at Coors Field. So I don't have to sit here and tell you kind of the challenges that Coors Field bring out as is. It's, you know, the elevation, not only just the ball flies, just yourself. You know, that double is going to be a double, or maybe it's a single to Eric Hosmer, and sorry to call him out, but he's a little bigger guy, you know, and, you know, those triples or doubles, and those doubles or singles. And, you know, maybe you're tired. You actually just ran out, made a great play in the field, ball gets hit to you, you make a mental error, you know, things like that. So there are things that have to be dealt with. Padres, Giants, and Rockies. You put that down. They have to win both these series. Every team, if you want to compete right now, it's about winning series. Obviously, look, games are really important, but it's still like most in baseball. It used to always be in baseball. Just win the series. Win the series. Everything else will work itself out. You're going to have less series, obviously, this year. But if you can go out and, look, win tomorrow, and you win the first series, and then you win the next two, you're 3-0 in those series. I know it sounds really easy, right? But you can find yourself in a situation. This is not a time where, oh, we can get off to a slow start. Don't look at what happened with the Dodgers yesterday, because that's not the Dodgers that we're going to be seeing. The Dodgers are going to get off to a fast start. If the Padres really want to contend for this division, they're going to have to get off to a quick start too, because they're not making up 10 games in September. So the Padres right now, these are the moments. Look, the Diamondbacks and Rockies, all right, I think the Padres are better than them. I know the Padres are better than the Giants. So they have to make these series worthwhile. And kind of looking forward, we already kind of talked about the Dodgers Astros series. And then just throwing it out there, the Dodgers will end the week next week with a 3-game set with the Diamondbacks. So that'll be an opportunity. And I think that's interesting for Padre fans. Look, the Padres can go out and get 3 out of 4 from the D-backs and then see how the Dodgers play, or how the Diamondbacks play against the Dodgers. Could give them a little, you know, who knows? Maybe the Diamondbacks play them a lot tougher than people think. The Padres will feel a little bit better about themselves winning, hopefully, like I said, crossing fingers, 3 out of 4. But we'll see how tomorrow goes. The end of the day, you have to take care of what's in front of you. You can't worry about what other teams are doing, especially this early in the year. You've got to win these two series. The Giants and Rockies are two teams that you are better than, or at least on par with. You have to get these wins when they're presented to you, because you still have 10 games against the Dodgers on the docket. And if you win 4 of those, you might get a parade here in San Diego.
And I'm just going to say, if you can win 2 out of 3 at Coors Stadium, you're good. Because being a Los Angeles girl, going to school in Colorado, having been at Coors Field, having dealt with that elevation, it sucks. So obviously the Rockies are going to have an advantage when it comes to that. But so like, if you can get 2 games out of a 3-game series, like that's good. Cause like elevation like sucks, and you can get elevation sickness. It's no joke. But
well, and another thing too, also, you know, I don't think there's anybody, but I know there used to be a football player. I think it was Ike Davis, or he was a cornerback for the Steelers. He had sickle cell. And he couldn't play at Mile High. And I don't know of any situations of that in terms of baseball, but you see it at least in the football or in on football sidelines. And I'm sure you'll see it, you know, if someone legs out a triple and they got the oxygen mask, because it is. If you're not used to it, you can sit here and be ready for it all you okay. I know the air is gonna be thin, but are you gonna tell your lungs and all that stuff? No, it doesn't work like that. So it will be very interesting for the Padres, because they have to win these series. This is a sprint, and they are going up against Usain Bolt, essentially, in their division. The Dodgers are going to get off to a fast start, period. I expect 20 games in, they're going to be 14-6, 15-5. Padres, you know, if they're 11-9, you probably already are looking at a wild card spot. So, which wouldn't, of course, be the end of the world. I understand that. But we need to try and contend. So, that's pretty much all I have for my side of things. Brianna, do you have any final thoughts heading into week 2, or I guess getting ready to really kind of get into the nitty gritty of baseball, where it's not just the first couple days we'll actually see long sample sizes?
I'm just hoping Joe Maddon has a plan for when Trout goes down, for when he's out seeing the birth of his first child, who happens to be a son, and hopefully he plays baseball. I'm really hoping that Maddon has a plan for whoever is going to be in that number 2 spot and in center field, because it's coming up a lot quicker than you think. So that's all my thoughts on it.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Now, I will say, everything that I've seen or heard, or my prior knowledge of Joe Maddon, is I would suggest he has something up his sleeve. Or, I mean, look, Joe Maddon's a great manager, but you cannot replace the best player in baseball, period. That's just all there is to it. But I feel like if anybody can, or at least maybe find tricky ways to maybe make it not hurt as much, it would be Joe Maddon. Be really interested to see how that goes. Hopefully, obviously, first and foremost, health of that child is the number 1 concern. And then, you know, enjoy the time. If Mike Trout decides to come back, hopefully when he comes back, it's a seamless effort. Because look, game of baseball is better with the best players. We're already missing Juan Soto. David Price isn't terribly at the top, but we are missing some good players. We are going to probably lose out on Mike Trout, hopefully only for a small amount. But once again, that's his decision. Trust me, nobody out there in this world has any right to judge Mike Trout's decision on that. And like I said, if you honestly believe that Mike Trout owes something to you because you're a fan, then you need to put the pipe down. So with that, folks, that's all we have for you. A great Sunday. It's been a great week of baseball, and we got plenty more coming. We waited a long time. We had to wait to get sports back, especially baseball. But it's going to be coming fast and furious at us now. We'll be back with you next Sunday to do the same thing all over again. We're going to break down the MLB, and then we're going to break down the Southern California side of things, talking baseball. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter, myself, First Report, dropping picks every single day, including live bets. So keep an eye on that because, look, we got to make money watching sports. We enjoy it. Why not make money off of it as well? Thank you all so much for listening, folks. Once again, my name is Brandon First, a.k.a. First Report, representing the ESBC Podcast Network. Thank you again so much for listening. Go wash your hands and don't hate.